Our gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44, found in your pew Bibles on page 26 and page 33 in the large print. This is the word of God for us. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. So keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation.
Thanks be to God.
It's the first Sunday of Advent, the season of anticipation, the season looking forward to the birth of Jesus that happened all those centuries past. The blue pyramids are up, the greenery is hung, and the candle of hope has been lit. And Matthew's gospel passage is about the apocalypse. Someone at the Revised Common Lectionary headquarters must have missed the memo. Advent is the season of birth, the season of expectancy, the season of making room for Jesus. Advent is about beginnings. So why are we reading about the end of the world? Now, I don't know anyone who really likes to talk about the apocalypse. Most of what I learned about the apocalypse as I was growing up scared the devil out of me. And worse yet, I think it was meant to. It was used for sermons that startled the listener into get right with God or else. And they were good at capturing a high quota of believers. But they were short on forgiveness, inclusion, and bridge building. So perhaps that's not the best way to approach the end times. In fact, Jesus tells us many times in the scriptures not to be afraid. And in this passage from Matthew, he tells us to go about our work until the end. Our very human discussions of texts like this can lead to some less than positive results. At best, we think the end is coming any day now, and we are anxious about when all these signs keep being misinterpreted. Or we are apathetic. We can't do anything about it, so who cares when it comes? But what if I told you that this apocalyptic language was meant to inspire us to hope? That it wasn't written to describe the end of humanity at all. Let's look at the Hebrew reading. The prophet Isaiah makes some grand promises. The Lord's house shall be on the highest of mountains, and all nations shall come to it. Now, it is difficult to imagine all nations doing anything. But this is the promise. And even bigger than this promise is the promise that people shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Trying to imagine God's house on the highest mountain is challenging, even for my imagination. But weapons reforged into tools, that is a very concrete image. That is hope made practical. That is hope made real. That is hope that every person can hold on to and strive to achieve. Indeed, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In the Greek lesson, in the letter to the Romans, Paul entreats the early church to live honorably as if in the day. Christ is to be put on, like we might wear a brave face, or summon extra confidence, or even put on armor. Because we are followers of Christ, we are to stand up, speak up, and even act up for justice, not simply to be disruptive, but because this is what God would have us do. Hope inspires action. And knowing God's love means to live in the light of God's love and to share that light for those that we encounter by working for justice. So when Matthew's text begins about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, not the Son, and only the Father, and ends with the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. We have to take those words literally. The day when Jesus comes again is unknown, and it will be unexpected, even to the Son of God himself. This is what Jesus is telling us. Yet how much time and money and heartache and praying and writing and preaching have we wasted in trying to pin down, track, and discern the signs of the end times? How many have gone to their graves having mispredicted the second arrival of the Son? When we are told plainly, not even the Son himself knows when he will return. The certainty is that he will come back. That is what we can count on. But there is no need to fear. There is no need to calculate and speculate. Just trust that Jesus will come. We are reminded of the story of Noah. When Noah began to build the boat, the waters had not started to rise. When Noah continued to build the largest boat anyone had ever seen, the people around him continued to drink and eat and marry off their children as if everything in the world was fine. But Noah built that boat on the basis of faith. Noah continued to build, trusting that this giant ship would someday be useful. Noah had to cling to the hope to keep going when the rest of the people in the world must have thought he was crazy. So the message of the apocalypse that comes from Jesus is hope that fuels perseverance. It is the hope of certainty about what will come, even if we don't know when it will arrive. It is a message of hope that teaches us to endure whatever happens until that end comes. And for 2,000 years plus, we are still trying to learn this lesson. So what is there to do while we hope? We can cultivate an attitude of expectation, prayerfulness, and hopeful waiting. We can strive to be the change that we want to see in the world. We can use what we do know of the reign of God to shape the world around us. We can sincerely wish one another, "Peace be with you," declaring peace out loud as our goal. And we follow our Redeemer's instructions. Jesus tells us, "Don't worry about the signs, because you will not know when it is coming. But don't be caught by surprise, because it will come. Do the work that needs to be done. Plow the fields, grind the grain, spread the good news. Let's set aside the apathy and the anxiety that has come with apocalyptic talk in the past. And instead, let's adopt an attitude of mindfulness. We know it will come, we know not when, and that is okay. That is all Jesus knows. That is all we are expected to know. Free of our past fears, we will awaken more deeply to God and to living in God's realm. So I propose that the key to Advent hope is the apocalypse. It's learning to live this moment in the most grace-filled way we know how. The world can be a place of healing and justice and even peace. And we know and faithfully believe the day of the apocalypse will come. But until then, we cling to hope that marks the beginning of our Advent season. Now to the God of all wisdom, who strengthens